is number one. Podcasting is the only media that's going to have a long tail. It's an asset that's going to pay you for weeks, months, years to come after you upload content. Number two, competition is so much lower than people think. There's only 250,000 active podcasters. Number three, high value content. Most content nowadays is going shorter and shorter and shorter, but it's hard to actually provide value in sub 60 seconds. Number four is multiple streams of income. You can have sponsorship, people buy your products and service, you can have a paid for community, you can do affiliate marketing. And number five is repurposing. You can't turn 20 TikToks into a podcast. You can turn a podcast and repurpose it for those virality channels like TikTok, like Instagram, like YouTube Shorts.
Yes, Lord, this is Cowboy 347. I believe that nothing happens on accident. Why? Because we all are here on purpose. Yes, Lord, I'm Cowboy 347. You guys know how we articulate these things. I give you guys a stick so that you guys can be inspired and be pulled out of the mental quicksand, no matter where you are at in the world. Today, I have somebody who is willing to give you a front row seat to his purpose-driven life. And I'm not going to hold the mic too much more longer so that he can introduce himself.
Hey, I'm Danny Riley Music from Southeast Alabama. Danny Riley Music on everything, but known as formerly Danny Riley.
Danny.
Hey, matter of fact, Danny Riley, who is about to take over 2024. Just watch that.
Yeah, let's get it. That's how we starting off. And you know what? And I'm going to take the baton, my brother, and I'm going to do what I do best. Yes, Lord, download the iHeartRadio app on Spotify, PlayFM, Deezer. If you guys want to check out all the other syndication platforms, click the Media Club link. Yes, Lord, brother Danny, I love the energy, brother. And I'm so happy to have you here in fellowship. And we get ready to start this contrivement. I want to celebrate you. I want to celebrate you for the survival. I want to celebrate you for the gift. Someone who is taking the baton, a generational baton of expression, and using it to push through every obstacle that you faced in your life to impact mankind. Honey. Yes, Lord. Oh, man, we're starting out spicy. I like the energy on this one. Yeah, a whole nother frequency.
That's an intro. I like that.
Yeah. Man, D. And, you know, with that, you know, Danny Riley Music, you're about to take over 2024. Do you mind delving into, you know, what you do, what's your passion, and just give the audience a little bit more clarity on, you know, your weaponry, my brother?
Okay. So I'm a songwriter first and foremost, singer, content creator. I do a little bit of everything, mix, film, pretty much everything that you see when you go to my page is what I do. I'm an electrical tech. I do electric meters by day, 9 to 5, blue collar guy. Just trying to support my own dreams right now.
Talk to him. Thank you, Danny, for that. Ladies and gentlemen, let's dive into someone special. Let's dive into this beacon of light. Danny, how did we get here, brother?
How did I get here? Man, it's a lot of trials, a lot of tribulations, a lot of figuring it out, a lot of not getting any sleep, a lot of praying, asking God what my purpose is. That's probably been one of the biggest things for me, you know, wanting to know what my purpose is, wanting to know if I haven't figured it out in time, if I'm too late in life to be figuring out what I want to do with the rest of my life. So I did a lot of praying on that, and I think that prayer is what led me here. Listening, knowing when God is speaking and listening and following through with things that he tells you is why I'm here.
Let's go.
And how I got here. So,
wow. No, seriously, wow. Because D, you know, we're in 2024 and this year started off electric, pertaining to, let's say, Cat Williams, right? The way Cat Williams hopped on Shannon Sharpe's platform and expressed nothing but the truth. And as a content creator, as a podcaster, a radio personality, this episode is going to be on my radio show, The Ranch 1922, in 13 terrestrial states, terrestrial stations in 13 states in the country as well, on top of the syndication. I'm very sensitive to, you know, what algorithm or what frequency the world is in, right? And I believe that this year is about, you know, authenticity, empathy, right? And when it comes to you as an artist, man, it's a pleasure to meet you, brother. Again, thank you for your time. When it comes to you as an artist, I tilt my hat to you because, you know, the world is now giving more opportunities for people to minister to people. And being an artist in general is a lot tougher now than it was back in the day because there's so much vulnerability that's necessary, right? To make you, that fingerprint, no one in the world is like you, right? And for you to express yourself, you're a warrior. So I say all of that to say this. What is it about your story, right, in terms of the trials and tribulations, your testimony, that with all those prayers, right, that makes your passion worth it in terms of having enough to say to the world? Oh, man.
Man.
That went off.
So this is all crazy to me, first of all, because, like I said, even though I'm praying, you know, to understand what my purpose is, I didn't know that it was this. As I fell into doing this, you know, being pushed by my dad and other family members for years, my friends, it was kind of just a thing that I did until I figured out my purpose.
Oh, wow.
So I didn't have a lot of passion in it. I just wrote what I felt. As a lot of people may not agree, but I consider myself an empath, right? So I feel what other people feel, and my way of expressing it is to write it down. So if you're going through something and you're telling me about it, I may not have the words for you, but I can write about it. Yeah. But I didn't connect that, you know, the passion in that and my purpose. I didn't connect those things until last year. But when I did, I realized it was a weapon, and I have made it my purpose to not only understand people, to help people get through things, to, you know, it's in there, you got to listen for it, to minister to people, different. I take my music and I'm doing everything that needs to be done with it. That's how I speak. I don't know. I mean, that might not even answer your question, but
no, you did.
That's just what I was led to say. You
did. No, I got you. But nah, I connected with that. You said you're an empath. And, you know, yeah, it's a lot of things to express in music today. Because, you know, music is like the number one conduit for education, I feel like, for the world, in terms of, like, for example, good and bad. There's good and bad and everything. But, like, you know, there's, you know, young ladies listening to Cardi B and saying, hey, I'm not trying to get a job. I'm gonna go straight to the strip club and see if I could right? And then you have brothers that, you know, right, you listen to, you know, J. Cole, right? And, you know, they said, nah, I'm gonna try to make my dreams come true, you know, the traditional way, and I'm gonna try to find a way in. You know, it's, there's so many things to put out into the world in terms of a blueprint, right? Jay-Z, or, you know, we can go down the lines to, you know, Trace Adkins, right? Now we're jumping into different genres, right? Where you talk about what you've been through. And I just wanted to have you share that, because we had a conversation before this contrivement and you blew me away. And I'm all about lifting sweat equity. Why? Because there's so many movies walking the earth right now that's not being told, that's not being promoted. And to have a chance to hear your story and how you kind of connected the dots that this is your purpose, it was extremely unique. And ladies and gentlemen, to get you guys caught on board, I would like to, you know, talk about you and, you know, your father, right? And how there was this unique experience, right, that caught your attention.
Right. So my dad has, for as long as I can remember, has had an amazing voice. When I was younger, I sang in the choirs. I had a very high, maybe soprano voice. But my dad had this deep, lower register, bass, baritone. You know, you can feel it when he talks. It just shakes the room. And then when he sang, it was, you felt it in your chest. It was, he would evoke emotion like no one else I knew. So I was always like impressed by that and a little bit jealous, because as I hit puberty, I kind of lost my voice, or in my head, I lost my voice. I stopped really caring so much about singing, and I was just kind of stayed in awe of him. I continued to write throughout the years, but he would always push me to get back into singing, and, you know, that's your dream, you need to do it. Because I was writing songs for other people, and he's like, why don't you write your own? And I'm like, I don't have the voice for it. So, you know, just fast forward many years. 2021, I found out on a Friday that he had cancer. Was really, really caught me off guard, because my dad had remained the hardest working person I knew. He had had his roofing and remodeling business for 25 plus years. He was still getting on roofs at that time.
Wow.
And it was just, something was off about him one day. And me and my sister found out he had cancer the next day. And long story short, we lost him within a week, 7 days, we lost him. So, but before that, I moved in with him for that week. And I spent a lot of time with him, hearing stories that I never heard before. A lot of time being angry, finding out he knew about this and didn't tell us. But there was a moment the night before he passed that Louis Graham, and he plays the bass like no other. And he was just jamming in the living room playing my dad's bass, because my dad picked up this bass and he was supposed to fix it and start playing it again, and he hadn't really done anything to it. And he got in there playing around with my dad's bass, and my dad just starts singing. Mind you, he hasn't even been talking. He's like, you can tell he's kind of wanting to give up. He hadn't been talking, couldn't talk. His memory was slipping in and out, but he just began singing, and it took over the house. There was somebody else there helping out with stuff, people cleaning up. They all joined in and was singing with him. And then he looks over at me. I'm recording. Got a video like this. Maybe the last video I get of my dad. I'm recording. He never liked taking pictures, so I just had to have it. And he looks over at me and he's like, why are you not singing? And I'm like, you know, I can't sing with you. I can't sing like you. And he just encourages me to sing. So reluctantly, I joined in. But, you know, I'm glad I did, because that was that memory that I needed. But the next day when he passed, or right before he passed, some of the close family members was around him, And I can't remember why people went out to talk. Maybe it was to doctors or something, but me and him had a moment, and I was just like, I still need you. I don't want you to leave me yet. Because my dad was very strict. He never said I love you, things like that. He raised me and my siblings to be hard workers, to not need anybody. A lot of good qualities, but being loving wasn't one of them. My grandparents were the same way. So
Old school.
I had a moment where I broke down, and I literally saw tears in his eyes that I've never seen before.
Oh, wow.
And just the way he grabbed me right before he passed, literally moments later he passed, but the way he grabbed me, I felt like he passed on his abilities to me at that point, because it was a spiritual feeling, which I struggled in the past with, religion and things like that, because we were raised in the church so heavily. But when
Right.
things started going so wrong, I
Yeah.
would always ask, why is this happening? But that moment, I felt all of it, and I told my sister later, I felt like he transferred, his singing ability to me. And when I tell you, my nervousness, my anxiety from singing in front of people and around people, my range, everything from that moment, it's like I was a different person.
Wow.
I started singing after that. I started writing songs for myself. And ever since then, it's just kind of been like I'm riding a wave that, it's my dad had something to do with.
Wow.
That was a bit long-winded way to explain it, but
No, we here.
that's where I am now.
We're here, Danny. Nah, thank you, brother. Because you're a talent. Ladies and gentlemen, this man can sing. I am a huge fan of music. It was my very first love. If I wasn't at the time, I was at the time I was into basketball and trying to go pro and all of that. Became a thing. But if I had a chance and I had the gift, I would have tried to be a singer. And being such a fan of the craft and hearing you, I used to be a talent scout, Danny, for professional athletes. And I have like this thing about, usage rate, reality versus potential and, form of expression. And just hearing you, man, I really feel like, and man, put this down in the record books, mark my words, I really feel like you are the next best thing. Ladies and gentlemen, I will play his song at the end of this compartment so that you guys can check it out. But it's a wave of emotions that hit you because you don't expect you to sound the way you look. Not only that, just the correlation of the genre and the style that you represent is it's breathtaking. It's different. We're in a world where being different is it. And I have to say to you now, you already have an acumen. You perform, and you have a track out called Drinking Games, which I love. I think that's an absolute vibe. And you have other songs, and I'll let you promote the other songs before the one you dropped recently, but I know you just dropped it. I want to use this episode to promote, and campaign this new song you got, of course. But what is this that's happening right now? It seems like you're on a surfboard and you're really riding something, and never mind the motion, you're really trying to lock in on some momentum. What's happening right now with Drinking Games?
What's happening is knowing and understanding your audience. So Drinking Games, definitely least favorite song I ever made. But I realized as an artist, it's about you, but it's not. Because you may not like a song, but you're only gonna create after you reach a certain level, you've set a standard for yourself. So you're not even going to allow yourself to create anything that's garbage. So, but you also are your own worst critic. So the way I listen to Drinking Games, I did it in maybe 10 minutes. I had a past experience that I was kind of fueled off of. And but the thing about it is I felt that it was too much because it's authentic. I'm country. I'm raised in the country, born and raised.
Yes, Lord.
I also love hip hop. I love hip hop just as much as I love country, and I love blues and R&B. So it's a fusion that was natural. It was effortless. I didn't overthink. It just happened as it is in a lot of my music. But I said, man, these drums are too heavy. It doesn't sound country. And that was the problem. Yes. I'm worrying about it not being country music.
Yes.
Country artists. But it's my own sound. And that's where I failed to realize this doesn't fit into a category because there isn't a category for it yet. I just created that category. So my fans realize that. And they're like, I'm getting messages. This is going to be a hit. This song is going to blow up. All your songs are great, but this is the one. And I'm like, this is one that I literally just put out while I got my next single ready. Yeah. Actually, I put this out. I wanted to put Chevy High out, which is probably one of my favorite songs I ever made.
Let's go. I like that song.
But a friend of mine, I sent him Drinking Games, and he was like, yeah, man, that's dope. You need to put it out. And I'm like, I'm not really feeling it. You can come over. And he actually came over and he put a verse on it. And that's the version I released first with Shy Cole. That's actually the remix. So I went back and released the original recently, but he had a lot of faith in that song. And I'm like, man, I'm going to put it out just to fill some space. And I guess kind of should not be your own ears. And you should always have listening sessions or listening parties. I do fan participation now where I post a story and I post three or four options because I can get it down to three or four. And then I'll just let them pick, hey, is this song, what do you think about, what do you think, which one should I release next? But that's how Drinking Games got released. And it has been madness ever since. I went from 400 TikTok followers to 56,000, I'm certain, off of Drinking Games alone.
Wild.
I went from 1,500 Facebook followers to 99,000 within a few months off of Drinking Games because they let you know why they're there. They're sure to let you know, I heard this, and then I went and listened to everything else you had.
Certainly.
Spotify, 70,000-80,000 monthly listeners, Drinking Games. You know, it's just the one for most people. They relate to other songs, but that's just been, the one.
I don't know
how to explain it.
No, because the way you was looking at me while I was talking, it's weird because like when I was saying how much I like the song, I can see the, like, man, that's not even my favorite joint. But
you picked that one of all songs.
Yeah. It's weird because as you articulated it, that mesh, that fusion for consideration though. Right? For consideration, not just for your ears, but it's the consideration because you want to have harmony. You wanted to build that bridge, right? To connect to the masses. And I almost feel like I'm like connected to the people through Drinking Games, just how you articulated that. It's like, okay, so nah, I'm here on purpose. You know what I'm saying? Just like how I started the episode. Like, I'm here on purpose. Go ahead.
Yeah. But so think of it from my perspective, right? So I have these stories to me that are the most important stories I want to tell. I got a song that I wait to release for, almost a year because I'm like, this is the one, this is my favorite song, Southern Belle. I'm singing, it tells a story about, a couple who end up married, but it's like so in depth. The thought is so in depth in the writing, in that the way I tell the story. And then games, for instance, I was recording a song called Home for Christmas, which I released on Spotify and everywhere else as Whiskey for Christmas. But it's about my family. If you listen to that song, I'm telling my family, I'm talking to them why I don't show up every event, family event, why I don't come home every year. I'm introverted. They don't understand how difficult it is for me to balance my life. That is a full-blown story. Yes. And in that song, I said, smoking trains, drinking games. In that song, I scrapped it. And then I went and started another session and go, smoking trains, drinking games, got my head so gone. Save that for later. Boom. Wow. Finished the Christmas song. I went back to drinking games. I messaged two of my friends. I said, smoking trains, paper planes, or smoking trains, drinking games. They both said the same thing. 10 minutes, I hit record, did the whole song all the way through. Just thoughts out of my head. And then it felt like it was nothing. It was just something I got out really quick. But that's the song that everybody loves. You know, like the one that was less thought through. It just flowed, I guess, you know.
And you know, they say that your gifts, with the least amount of effort and the least amount of time, right, and impact the most amount of people. And it's not about making $1 million. It's about making 1 million smiles. And the fact that you referenced before even taking that little clip, this is wild. It's that easy for you? It's crazy, man. That little clip, and you went and said, paper planes or drinking games? But you went to the people. You went to the, as you do as an artist.
I still got the text messages.
It's crazy because me as a podcaster, I got the algorithm. You know, I see my audience. I see my demographic, right? And like, this is what we do as creators, right? But the fact that you did that in such the least amount of time and it's really touching people, man, this is genius. This is genius. But am I wrong by saying I'm here on purpose? Because I connect with the intent of the consideration. Now, with that, D, in regards to, and I love Chevy High. All right, Chevy High, ladies and gentlemen, man, I will put the links below the content. Please go tap in with Danny Riley and everything he has going on, please. And he's going to promote at the end of the episode where you can find him. But in regards to, you know, your career right now, right? Because we had a conversation before this. And this is for creators and entrepreneurs to be inspired, you know, that you can. You had some obstacles. I remember you shared with me, you know, your latest tribulation. I really want to, you know, put this out there really fast before I build off of where, you know, with drinking games. To do something that genius, but push through something so inconvenient. What is that like? Because I see a formula here about discomfort and suffering, and how it really helps us as individuals push the needle. Like, what is that like for you? Can you share that with the audience right now? And I'm vague, ladies, but Danny Riley can go into it. We got 10 more minutes.
Discomfort.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay, I'll make it quick. Discomfort shapes us, kind of, right? So anytime that I was comfortable, I wasn't able to create at my highest level. So when I was struggling, staying in an extended stay hotel, or, you know, having to walk 13 miles to work every day, praying for a promotion, that's when my best songs were always written, or my best poems, or, you know, scripts. So when I had a rib removed, part of my collarbone cut, a lot of tumors in my chest, nerves being pressed. I was just in a lot of pain. I had a lot of things going on, and collapsed lung, also ended up with pneumonia and COVID at the same time of that, and did not think I would be able to sing again. Was told my breathing and my lungs would never be the same. But I did rehab myself after regular rehab didn't work. And I told myself this was something I wanted to do and I was going to do. So I did everything it took to get back to where I need to be. I'm currently taking vocal lessons now to try to strengthen up some more. But that discomfort just, it put me in a headspace of, I've got to do this, or I've got to go harder than everybody around me. I've got to, you know, create more. I've got to tell more stories. I've got to appeal to my fans. I've got to respond to every comment. I've got to do whatever it takes to not be in the situation I'm in anymore. Because, mm-hmm. Hey, maybe if I'm successful and able to do this for a living, I can afford better doctors to finally get this issue fixed, or whatever the case may be, whatever I had to tell myself. But in those times of, you know, like you said, discomfort, it just pushes me to go harder, to think more, to just deliver more, I guess.
Yeah, this was a powerful episode for a brief time, and we got to do a part two to this. We have to do a part two because this is, like I said, the next best thing in music, especially, you already said it, life endeavors in the power of the tongue. 2024 is definitely your year, brother. I can feel it. The fans can feel it. Something is happening right now, this year, this hour, this month, this very second. And I want to say thank you for being on the show, man. Hey, where can the audience find you? Where can people find you?
Okay, so they're probably going to be surprised seeing this anyway. I think more people expect me to be like more boisterous instead of kind of chill and laid back, but because of my socials. But Danny Riley Music everywhere. Also, you can go to my personal Facebook page, Danny Riley. I'm active. I'm super active on Facebook and Instagram. But Danny Riley Music everywhere else. I'm on YouTube. I'm on Spotify. I'm everywhere you can stream music. Pandora, Amazon Music, Deezer. I'm everywhere. So I've been getting a lot of Shazam. So that's letting me know people are finding me on Spotify or anywhere they hear. I mean, Snapchat, anywhere they hear my song and somebody's story. But you can literally find my music everywhere. I would recommend you go listen to Drinking Games by Danny Riley. But also Chevy High is probably my favorite song. And Southern Belle, which is one of my newer songs that I really love. So go check those out and message me, leave me a comment on my socials. Let me know what you think about it.
Yes, Lord. So my brother can track the progress. I've been also using your songs to promote just anticipation, but I'm going to promote this episode and I'm going to be spamming those songs on social media, on my stories a lot more. So ladies and gentlemen, you know, jump in there with me, man, to help my brother lift his sweat equity. Thank you, Danny. Yes, Lord, this is Cowboy 347. I believe that you can uplift yourself no matter what you go through, because we are here on purpose. Why? Because we are getting smarter by the day. Yes, Lord. Man. Drinking games, got my
fighting all her demons, the Lord couldn't save her. Never lost a drinking game, never really did complain. Guess it wasn't you, it was me. You're warming not to fall, and I tripped anyway. Try so hard to keep me close, and I still slipped away. Girl, I swear I take it all back. I made a big mistake, but it's done, and now you're on the run. I had somebody who would hold me down. I had somebody who would ease my pain. I had someone who always put me first. I can't believe I let her get away. Oh no. Smoking trains, drinking games, got my head so gone, gone. 99 bottles of beer, I've been drinking too long, long. Said she's leaving and she's never coming back this way. Need you for a little while longer, baby, won't you just
I've been playing drinking games.